appreciate this house. I appreciate Pastor Barry and Lady J, parents in the Lord, parents in the Lord. Just an awesome man and woman of God. I feel like God's saying something right now. I'm going to jump track just for a second. Get your confidence up. Because he said, I'm starting a good work. What Paul said in Philippians. I started a good work and I'm going to finish it. What I starts, I finish. And when I finish it, I'm going to finish it. It's already done. Just be confident. I'm fixing to unlock some seed in you. It's going to call a harvest from you. A seed that he's planted. It really feels like he's saying that right now. Potential that lies inside of us is fixing to be unlocked. He's unlocking it right now. He's saying, I think it's going to be a quick thing. He's unlocking potential that's in this house because this house is starting to move. It's starting to walk. It's starting to make an utterance in this county and in this city. I'll give you that little nugget. But the title of this, what I feel like God's speaking to me and to us, is Know Your Position. You got to know your position. Each person in here has got a role, a calling, a destiny. We all have a specific purpose in God. 2 Peter 2:10, it says, Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And there's quite a few things up above this scripture that a lot of things he's talking about. But I just want to focus on your calling and your election. What God's called you to do. What God's called you to do individually. And how he's placing you in a body and on a team. He's bringing us into position. So, point number one, know your position. We must know who we are and what we are. You know, what position are you? We're going to kind of jump some analogies here. I got the analogy of God. I feel like God was telling me, you know, to go with the football analogy since the Super Bowl just happened. You know, it's kind of things, those things are kind of fresh on our minds. But what position are you? Are you a quarterback? Are you a running back? Are you a kicker? Are you a receiver? Are you one of those people that don't necessarily have to touch the ball? You know, at the end of game time, everybody wants to be on ESPN. You know, hey, you know, I'm the one that made the big play. But how many know that quarterback can't do anything without his line, without his offensive lineman protecting him? They're just as important. Then that running back can't score that touchdown if he ain't got his blockers blocking for him. And that wide receiver can't do it either if he ain't got his blockers. And I want to just emphasize that because those positions, maybe not necessarily, they're not the face of the team, but they're just as important. And God's calling us to stand up in the position that he's given us, whether it is preaching, whatever it is, whether it's teaching a class, whether it's mowing the grass, whether it's getting the water, it doesn't matter. He's called us to a position. And each position makes room for the next position. You have to have a person in their role working that position to the best of his ability. That's right. Knowing my role and my position can make room for another's position, and it makes another one stronger. Ephesians 4:1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. That word vocation also means calling. You know, you got to know what God's called you to do. We've got each position has to do its job. From the quarterback to the lineman to the blockers, whatever, to the water boy. Even the water boy is important. Even the coordinators and the coaches on the teams are all important. And all these are just different analogies, and you can take them however you want them. But God is calling us to become a unit. That's the key word in unity without the why. It definitely is. So we got to walk worthy of that vocation. The second thing, my second point is the team. You know, when all these positions find out when you find out your calling and your purpose, then you can get together with the team. You got to be with the team. We must be a part of something that's bigger than ourselves. I heard this analogy from Bishop Huskins. I love it. He says, what would you rather be, a major player on a minor team, or would you rather be a minor team on a minor player on a major team? You know, they're part of something that's bigger than themselves. Some of these athletes we got out there today, it's just all about them. And I think the team suffers from it. But when you see a team that maybe not so star-studded, but everybody's giving 100%, they get the job done and they win the Super Bowl. They do. They do. So God's doing something great in us. He's calling us to become part of something that's bigger than ourselves. Ephesians 5:30 says, "For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones." And you go to Ephesians 2:19 through 22, it says, "Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners." You got to know who you're with. "But you're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, fitly framed together, grows to a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." I'm going to jump an alley just a little bit, but He's building a house. God's building a house, a team and a house. He's put the foundation in Pastor Barry and Lady J, Pastor Dale and Pastor Donna. He gave them that foundational vision. And He's calling us to come in and stand on top of that. And we're building a house. We're building a house. We call it to be your part in this house. 2 Peter 5 says, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. And in verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." You know, we've got to be in one mind and one accord. We've got to be team-minded. You know, and a team cannot be successful, you know, if there's no faithfulness to it. You've got to have faithfulness to a team. You know, you got to show up for the team meetings. You know, it's like class. You got to show up because you got to know where the team's going. You got to know where the team's going. And then Ephesians 4:11-16. Shake these jitters out just a little bit. "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." You can already see some of the positions being filled right here on this team, on this football team. It's the leadership of the team. It's the ones who call the plays, the ones who are hearing from the general manager upstairs in the house, and he's giving them the plays, and they're audible in it. They're calling it out. "Hey, run this play. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the Son of God, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." He's calling us to be like Him, super athletes who can win the game as a team, super athletes. "That we hereafter be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, and it makes increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love." You got to be a joint of supply. You got to be linked up to the next person beside you, to who God's linked you to, because it says here that you make them stronger. It says you make them stronger. And as we all link up arm in arm, hand in hand, side to side, we make up a line, and it causes strength in the house, and it's going to take this house somewhere. And then this is another analogy I feel like God's giving me. I had a puzzle piece up here. That's cool. We don't need it. It's cool. I feel like God gave me this a few months ago. You are a piece to a puzzle, a certain puzzle, and you are a perfect fit. You're a perfect fit to fit linked up to a certain puzzle piece in a certain puzzle. Each puzzle piece is created to perfectly fit with another piece and to be in a certain puzzle. The puzzle piece is different. Each puzzle piece is different, but it fits perfectly where it's supposed to be. Each puzzle piece has indentions and extensions. Y'all know what a puzzle piece looks like. Then the extensions, I feel like God gave me this, the extensions are strengths, and the indentions are your weaknesses, your voids, the things where you lack a little bit, you know. As the pieces are put together, each one's strength fills each one's void. And each piece fits together and makes a beautiful picture. When you get beside me, Brother David, and your strengths fill my weakness, and it makes me strong, and my strengths lock up with your weakness, and we become one mind and one accord, and we get the job done. That's it. Got to be a puzzle piece. I love what Pastor Barry says. This place is more anointed because you're here. And I believe that that lines up with that so much, because you're a piece. You're perfectly fit in this puzzle. And God, Jesus is making a beautiful picture of us. We're just one part of a gigantic puzzle. And my third point is practice. Every athlete, we're jumping back to football, every athlete must practice to be successful. We must know the plays and how to execute them. We must be in the Word and in tune with heaven. You know, you can relate our practices to our quiet times, our personal reading time, you know, and our private worship, and even our services. Our services are practice. They're practice because we've got to take the team out there on the field. That's the field. That's the field. We've got to take it out there. And how many know Jesus has already won the game? He's already defeated the enemy, so we just got to go out there and execute the play he's called. That's it. That's it. So we must learn the plays. We've got to learn what he's saying. We've got to have that open ear to find out what God's saying in this house, what he's saying to us individually and what he's saying to us corporately. And you got to be faithful to the meetings. You got to, you know, it's all about, you know, watching the film on a football team. You got to learn. You got to learn what God's showing you. You know, they watch film and they work out all the time. I want to take you to 2 Timothy 1:6. It says, "Wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God." This is practice. We're stirring up the gift that he's given us, those prophetic words that's over your life that he's spoken over you. That you're stirring up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. That was teamwork. That was teamwork. Paul put the, he said, I helped instill that gift in you by the putting on my hands, by the Holy Ghost that was working through me. And that's part of teamwork. And then there's 2 Timothy 2:15, very popular scripture, but it says, "Study to show yourself approved to God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed and rightly dividing the word of truth." You know, we've got to study. We've got to study, but there's a very important verse, a very important line there. It says, "Study to show yourself approved." Once you're under the blood of Christ, you're approved. He's already approved of you, and that's what we're studying the Word to find out, that he's already approved of us, that we are good-looking to him, that we are his precious stones. Also, Ephesians 5:17. I think I jumped one there, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry. "Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." That's a very big part of practice. You know, don't be caught off guard. Understand what God's got, what he said about you. What he said about this house, you know, understand what his will is. We need to know. We need to know what his will is. Now let's go to number four, is training. You got to train your mind like an athlete trains his or her body. And in 1 Corinthians 9:24-27, it says, "Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain." I feel like God showed me something here. This is very important in verse 24. It says that, let me read that. Okay. "Know you not that they which run in a race, run all." See a team there? "But one receives the prize. So run that ye may attain." Only one's receiving the prize. I used to look at that and say, man, that's a bunch of people running, but only one's getting the prize. That's not what's happening. That's not what's happening. They are running. They're all running, but one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. One's receiving the prize because they've come into one body, one mind, and one accord, and they're crossing the line together. They're crossing the line together. It says what did I write here? "We together run in the race, not that we may obtain the prize individually, but together as one." So every man that strives, in verse 25, "for the mastery is temperate in all things, not that they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but, you know, we an incorruptible." Verse 26, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly and without aim." You got to know where you're going. So fight I, not as one that beats the air. I got purpose. I'm not just out there for nothing. You know, I'm not here for nothing. I'm here because God has planted me here, because He's called me to be in this house, because He's called me to be a part of something that's way bigger than myself. And so fight I not as one that beats the air, but I keep under my body. This is my training, and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. I got to train so that I don't throw anybody else in the team off. You know, that's part of it. You know, I believe that's what he's saying there, so I don't become a castaway. You know, so I've got to bring my body and get into my position that God's given me, so I don't cause disruption in the rest of the team, in the rest of the house. Ephesians 4:23-24 says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Another training scripture, I believe, is Romans 12:1-2. It says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves and your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." It's good, acceptable, and perfect. It's all good. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" It says, but we have the mind of Christ. Tammy's got a thought. She gets a thought during the week, a thought, a prophetic thought. Brother David gets a thought. Lady J gets a thought. Together we come and collectively become the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We have it. You're not going to get it on your own. You got to be a we. Got to be a we. And I just one quick note about another verse on training is Jude, verse 20. It says, "But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." You know, we got to work out and build ourselves up. And, you know, praying in the Holy Ghost does that. You know, what Pastor Barry was talking about Wednesday night was how it unlocks mysteries in our lives, that God's unlocking mysteries. And the Holy Ghost is, I believe, he's praying for us right there. And, you know, even things that we don't even know we need, that when we're praying in faith right there, he's doing something greater in us than we can even know. But we must work out and build ourselves up. And we get that supercharge from the Holy Ghost where we can leap over a wall and run through a troop. I listen to him. He's a good preacher. So after we've known our positions, and we've got on the team, and we've done some training, and we've practiced, we get ready for the big game. The big game, which is out there. When we know who we are, we can successfully know and execute our positions and strengthen others in their roles. In Ephesians 8:19-22, says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God." It's waiting. Creation's waiting on us. "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by the reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself," listen to this scripture, "itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." Creation out there, it's waiting on us to stand up and realize who we are, that we are the sons of God. That when we walk in that liberty, it's going to set creation free. It's going to set some things back in motion that God intended from the beginning. You know, it also says, "For we know that creation groans and travails in pain together until now." This is a Sean opinion thing here, so I'm going to say it. But I feel like what he's talking about here, he says, "For we know that creation groans and travails together until now." You know, you think about, just think about some physical things that happen in the world. Crime, storms, tornadoes, tsunamis, everything. These things ain't the hand of God. God's wrath was satisfied at the cross. You know, that's what it says in Isaiah. It says he looked on that and he was satisfied. So I don't believe these things are God's hand. I believe that creation is screaming at you, crying out, "Set me free. Stand up and be who you're called to be, who God's called you to be, and set me free from this bondage." I believe that's what it's waiting on. We are manifesting as the sons of God, and creation is waiting on us, and we must realize our positions in the kingdom. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is within you, so you got to let it out. You got to get it out. Creation is waiting on us to stand up as the collective body of Christ and to set it free. You know, Jesus in his in his prayer, he said, in the model prayer, it says, Lord, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. You know, God, let your kingdom come in Selma as it is in heaven. Let it come in me as it is in heaven. We've got to release heaven on earth. I believe that's what he's trying to do. He's wanting to release heaven on earth, release heaven in here. And this is my final little point. We transport the kingdom of God. So what kind of transportation are you? What are you? Are you an athlete or a couch potato? Are you a Pinto or a Porsche? You know, we got to lay aside what we think we are and become who we are. Whether you think yourself as an old couch potato or a Porsche, no, God sees something greater. God sees a Ferrari, a Rolls Royce, you're a cruiser or a speedster, it don't matter. But God is calling us to something greater because he's got that locked up. He's got that potential in us. He's planted a seed in us. And the seed's growing. And it's fixing to cause a harvest. There's a harvest coming out of us. You know, I feel like that's what God's given me today. And thank you.